Blog Talk Radio.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to Conference Championship Week. I'm Evan Vladim on Arena Football Friday Radio, and joining me, as always, is BJ Picard. BJ, Arena Bowl, Avite Arena Bowl 25 is next Friday night.
It's crazy.
Next Friday night.
Oh my goodness. Time flies when you're having fun.
Really does. We're in the 22nd week of Arena Football now, and we have some great matchups for you. And, you know,
two of them.
And I mean, at the beginning of the season, a bunch of us and a bunch of the listeners probably could have told you the Philadelphia Soul would find themselves in this position.
Yep. I think the hot pick was Philadelphia versus San Jose.
That was
Philadelphia's still here.
Who thought the reigning champions Jacksonville Sharks would be in the American Conference Championship game at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I don't think many people outside of Jacksonville did, especially losing Aaron Garcia. They lost Jomo Wilson, who was a top receiver last year. And at the beginning of the year, Mischa Robinson was in Philadelphia. Now, Mischa Robinson has since been traded back to Jacksonville, and now he's on IR. But still, those are three of your top playmakers. And early on, they had questions at quarterback. You know, they had the Chris Leak debacle. They had Omar Jacobs before he got hurt. Now you got Bernard Morris, who I think has made huge strides this in his third year in the AFL and his second year in Jacksonville. They're getting hot at the right time. I think playoffs have a lot to do with momentum. You look at the NFL, teams that get hot at the end of the season, last year, New York Giants, the year before, Green Bay Packers. Those are teams that are dangerous in the playoffs. That being said, talent is a big piece of it, too, and Philadelphia has a ton of talent. So I think we're going to see a great matchup here on Net 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network tonight.
And the matchup that I'm going to be watching is former Jacksonville Sharks Arena Bowl champion Jeff Hewley be playing some wide receiver, and they got some great wide receivers over there on Philadelphia, even after they lost Tiger Jones. But
yeah.
But Terrence Smith, you know, that's going to be a big matchup right there.
Yeah, and Terrence Smith started the year as a wide receiver, played all last year with Jacksonville as a defensive back on their championship team. But after Mischa Robinson got hurt, Terrence Smith back at DB, going to be matching up with Jeff Hewley, Donovan Morgan. Should be a good matchup.
Doug Plank is 2-0 in his career against Jacksonville. Both those career victories coming earlier on this season. And now an Arena Bowl 25 berth is on the line for Plank.
Big game.
And he's been there before.
Yeah. He's won Coach of the Year before, brought the Georgia Force to the brink of an Arena Bowl championship. So it's going to be the year.
We'll see. And then the other matchup that we're looking at, it's the battle of the quarterbacks. The battle of the new generation of AFL quarterbacks. I know last week we spoke so much about the new era of quarterbacks. You had Grebe, you had Garcia. Well, now you got the young guns out there. You got Tommy Grady, who completely shattered AFL record books. And talk about a quarterback being hot. That's Grady. And you got Nick Davila, who obviously made a trip to Arena Bowl 24 last year, and he's looking to get there and get the W this time.
Yeah, it's weird not seeing Aaron Garcia and Mark Grebe at this stage. You know, we had them last week, and then they got eliminated. So it's just strange not seeing the guys that you always see. But Tommy Grady having an incredible year, best statistical season in the history of AFL for a quarterback. And you look last week, everybody was like, oh, well, he's having a down game. He still passed for 326 yards and, what, five touchdowns? So if that's a down game, Utah's in good shape. it's going to be a great matchup, I think. This is the rubber match. Arizona's won once this year. Utah's won once this year. The last time they matched up, we didn't really see the quarterback duel we expected. So maybe this time we will. Last time it was more of a defensive struggle. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
And when you were talking about Garcia, you go back to last week. He sustained a hand injury. How much of a role did that hand injury have where he isn't at this stage in the conference championships this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough to say because as a quarterback, anytime you suffer an injury to your throwing hand, that's a big deal. It affects everything you do, from taking the snap to obviously making the throws. So it's tough to say how much that affected the game. But him not being at full strength certainly did play a role, I would think. It's surprising that both Garcia and Grebe aren't here. You didn't expect to see the Jacksonville Sharks competing for an Arena Bowl championship and Aaron Garcia not this year. So
I like Bernard Morris. I really, and you touched on him earlier on, but you know what he did miss? He did miss an all-offensive award, and we went ahead and we kicked off our postseason award winner announcement this week. First, we announced the all-Ironman team, wide receiver P.J. Barry, wide receiver DB, and we'll see him tonight, Terrence Smith. Like I said, that'll be a matchup to watch. Spokane Shock DB kick returner Terrence Sanders, Philadelphia Soul wide receiver kick returner Jeff Hewley. So we got the battle of the two Ironmen, the all-Ironman team there on offense and defense. And we got Milwaukee Mustangs wide receiver linebacker Marcus Everett, and we have Kansas City Command rookie wide receiver and kick returner Jackie Chambers. Where is Reggie Gray?
Well, he's not on the list, apparently. That all-Ironman team, that's a tough one for me. I really admire the guys that do play offense and defense in the traditional Ironman sense. And the one guy that really never left the field this year was Marcus Everett in Milwaukee. You know, he's playing wide receiver, he's playing jackbacker, and he was playing special teams. Some other guys that I thought should have gained some recognition are Huey Whitaker out in San Jose. Reggie Gray obviously has his beef, being a top kick returner, being a top receiver, and he also played some defensive back just in spot duty. P.J. Barry being on the list for the second consecutive year. You know, he played five different positions for Pittsburgh this year. Even had an interception. And I think he threw a touchdown pass, too, which is pretty impressive. Malik Brown in Philadelphia, I thought, you know, give some love to the big man. He's been playing a few different positions. Same with Jason Holman. But I think the guys that you have on there are guys that have proven they do multiple things on a football field. And I think that's kind of what the term Ironman has come to mean in today's AFL. Whether that's right or wrong or good and bad, that's not for me to decide. That's up to fans, and fans are certainly vocal about it in both directions, and that's great. But the guys on there are very good football players, and I think that's the most important thing.
What do you think, fans? Who do you think was snubbed off this list? Give us a call at 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. Would certainly like to hear your opinion on our award winners that we put out this week, and that also includes the all-arena defensive teams, and we'll just quickly run down some of the guys on that list. We had defensive lineman Joe Sykes, who had a career year.
Monster year.
How many sacks did he finish with?
16. AFL record.
16 sacks.
Crazy.
And you looked at that D-line over there on San Jose, and they had some monsters.
Yeah, the three top active sack leaders. And Joe Sykes is the guy that's making noise, which is, I think, pretty cool.
And Mike Lewis in Utah, also at defensive line. Victor DeGreat in San Antonio was that third selection for defensive lineman. And a guy who I like and I enjoy watching, a hard-nosed football player, is middle linebacker Aaron Robbins, who came in at first-team all-arena defense. We had a Jack linebacker, Alvin Ray Jackson in New Orleans, and he had a career year as well.
Yep, 14 picks, most ever for a Jack linebacker in AFL history. Tough to argue with that one.
So how did Alvin Ray Jackson, how did he make that work at playing the Jack linebacker position and recording this many interceptions? I mean, there's rules. You can only leave the box a certain amount of time. I mean,
yeah, it's what he did was impressive because, you know, Kent Richardson led the league as a defensive back with 14 interceptions. So that Jack backer position, it's a tweener. It's kind of a strong safety, monster back sort of position. And Alvin Ray Jackson, he got it done this year. You know, I don't know what his secret was, but he's able to hang on to the football, get in the quarterback's line of vision, and make big plays.
Another DB we'll look at who was on the first team All-Arena defense was Kent Richardson in Philadelphia, who we'll see tonight on NFL Network, who we spoke with Kent earlier on this week, who said he should have had that interception record, and he had two interceptions taken away against Spokane when they were called back by the referees, and it was illegal defense, or
yeah.
You know, so unfortunate for him. But, you know, again, that makes you look back to the defensive backs that the Philadelphia Soul has, and you know, I like the Soul's defensive back, and the question that I asked before the season even started, is this the best defensive backfield in the Arena Football League? Is it the best defensive backfield that the Arena Football League has ever seen?
And I mean, that's interesting because you look before the season started, their defensive backs were Rayshon Kaiser, who's still there, Mischa Robinson, and Tanner Varner. Robinson and Varner got traded. Kent Richardson wasn't even on the radar,
yeah.
And he's lighting it up this year. So that's a testament to how deep Philadelphia is. It's a good secondary.
You think Jaws is talking to these guys, Ron Jaworski? I've seen him on TV. He's doing the morning Jets training camp practices. Do you think he's giving these Philadelphia Soul players any words of wisdom for this upcoming game?
I know Jaws is very involved, loves the Soul, loves what he's doing with them. So I'm sure he's on the sidelines as much as he can be.
Had defensive back Jason Simpson in Iowa coming up with first-team All-Arena defense. Terrence Sanders in Spokane finishing off the defensive backfield with that first team. And then special teams, we had P.J. Barry in Pittsburgh. And P.J.'s just showing up on every list possible.
He is. There are a couple snubs on that all-arena defensive list. Rayshon Kaiser, I think, has legitimate reason to be upset. You know, he's got 11 picks. And he's right behind Kent Richardson in every defensive category. I think Kaiser and Joe Goosby, the Jack linebacker in Philadelphia, I think they're victims of being on a really good team. And, I mean, there are a lot of good football players in the league this year. And it's I think people that voted wanted to spread the wealth. They've got reason to be upset. I think Kelvin Morris is another guy who could legitimately be on the all-arena team. Because every time I see Kelvin Morris play, I say that's the best guy on the field. He's mm-hmm. the best football player out there. Maybe they didn't have the stats. You look at a guy like Marcus Everett, who's second-team All-Arena for Jack linebacker, and he doesn't have really impressive stats, but I don't think statistics tell the whole story for how important Marcus Everett was for Milwaukee this year and what a huge asset he was to that team. So, I mean, there's a lot to consider. There are a lot of good players out there, and, you know, it's a good problem to have people getting snubbed because you can say these guys need to be on there, but who are you going to take off?
Two Chicago players showed up on the all-arena list, and that was second team. And Reggie Gray did finish second team all-arena offense at wide receiver, and we also saw at center Bill Eisenhart. So that was the only two Chicago players that we saw on this list.
Yeah, I mean, for as much grief as we got about an East Coast bias during the season, there are an awful lot of guys from the West Division that are on these all-arena teams. So just something I noticed.
Was it 11 of 12? What was the number of West of in that?
I don't know
West
what the number
division?
Was offhand, but there's a lot of players. There are a lot of good players in that division.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to pull up a number. I know somebody brought it up the other day, and it's pretty amazing. I mean,
they're deserving of it. Too. Good players out there.
Again, you can give us a call to participate in the show, 347-324-3225, and we will be in New Orleans next week. How excited are you about that?
I'm very excited. I'm actually literally leaving after this radio show. I'm driving down.
Hitting the road. 14-hour drive.
Literally on the road to Arena Bowl.
We'll have a lot of podcasts to listen to. You can listen back to this 25 times.
Yeah, absolutely.
You going to do that?
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, I guess the voices of myself and my voice might get old, but you could always listen to yourself over and over again.
And I can.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason. Is that right?
Yeah.
It'll be good. I'm excited to see a whole lot of fans down there. I know we've got a lot of fun events going on. Arena Bowl week. We've got Media Day on Wednesday. We've got the Silver Anniversary Gala on Thursday. And Fan Fest and the Commissioner's Tailgate Friday. Plus, there's the game Friday night.
Game Friday night. And there's also the golf tournament, the
golf
charity
tournament.
Golf tournament, that fans can partake in. And
wheelchair basketball game. That'll be fun.
That'll be exciting. And we'll have some celebrities on hand for you, too. Have a lot of AFL personalities out there, and you know we'll see if Ron Jaworski will make his way out there. We don't know. I mean, his Philadelphia Soul team has to punch the ticket before Jaworski confirms, but we'll see Derek Brooks. We'll see Lynn Swann will probably make that trip, and you know a lot of AFL personalities.
Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
John's team is going to have to go through Jacksonville, who. We haven't mentioned yet, but last-second heroics last week.
Marco Capozzoli!
Kicker saves the day again.
Just for kicks.
That was an awesome game. Jacksonville had on two occasions, they had 27-point leads, and they couldn't put Georgia away. Brian Moniz got hurt. Darnell Kennedy comes back in. Haven't seen him since the beginning of the year. And they're down at the end of the game. Marco Capozzoli, 51-yard field goal. Probably nuts.
Marco Capozzoli is probably one of the biggest names on that Jacksonville Sharks team. The biggest fan bases.
He does have a huge fan base. That's strange. He's a kicker.
It's pretty amazing.
People love him.
He's a good guy.
There you go.
What he does on the field, he does even more off the field. And
that's very true.
And Marco is actually... He was supposed to go to law school out of state, and he wanted to come back and play for the Sharks, and he's going to start going to law school in Florida now, in Jacksonville, and, you know, he wanted back. He wanted to play arena football, and, you know, obviously the Jacksonville Sharks are happy to have him back because he's the one that brought them to the single-handedly brought them to the next round. But you got to look at that Sharks defense blowing, was it 21 points in the fourth quarter?
Darnell Kennedy's tough to stop, apparently. So, it is a great finish, though. One of the best finishes I think we've ever seen. And, you know, the 51-yarder, it wasn't the longest in AFL postseason history, but that was fun to watch.
We'll go back to the all-arena offensive team quickly. Tommy Grady, quarterback, and there's no arguments there. Nick Davila coming in at second-team quarterback. Fullback Derek Ross, first team, Jesse Schmidt, Maurice Purify, and Aaron Lesway, all wide receivers on that list. Kyle Young at center, Rich Ringland, who was the reigning offensive lineman of the year last year.
He didn't even finish the season because he's picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
So he's a good lineman while he was here, and I think you obviously see that from the list.
Michael Huey coming in at offensive line for Arizona, the rookie. And Kenny Spencer rounding out that list in Spokane. And we do have some exciting announcements coming for you. We have the third greatest player in AFL history coming out tonight. And we released number four yesterday, who was Jay Gruden, Cincinnati Bengals fans. They were chirping about that. A lot of them didn't even know where their offensive coordinator, where he came from. And now... they do indeed know he's the fourth greatest player in AFL history.
Yeah, he was an incredible player. And if you look at championships, you got to say Jay Gruden's the best. He's got four championships as a player, another two as a coach. incredible career. So he was fourth, I believe, in 2006 as well, so no change on the list. But well deserving of the honor.
Running down the list, next week on Monday, we'll be announcing the Spalding Offensive Lineman of the Year and Game Tape Exchange Defensive Lineman of the Year. We'll also be announcing that day the National Guard Community MVP, all of our guys getting out of the community. We've named one every week, and now there will be the National Guard Community MVP of the Year named next Monday. The Receiver of the Year and DB of the Year will be named Tuesday, and also the Kicker of the Year, the Executive Year, the Support Staff. Let's go down to the awards that everybody would be interested in. JLS Ironman of the Year will be next Thursday. And at that award ceremony, we're going to be announcing the Defensive Player, Offensive, and MVP. People are going to be excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some I think you can probably predict who would be in contention for that. But there are some that I think are wide open. So it'll be fun to see who comes away with the awards.
Going to be announcing our AFL Hall of Fame class next Friday at Arena Bowl on NFL Network. And we'll also announce the top two greatest players in AFL history on the NFL Network airways.
I can only imagine what kind of controversy that'll spark this year. You know, last time around, it was down to Eddie Brown and Barry Wagner. And both of those guys take a lot of pride in their arena football careers, and both have very strong opinions on who the greatest player in arena football history really is. So, we'll see who it is. See if those two are still in the top two, and if they are, in what order. So,
number three is coming tonight.
Number three is coming tonight.
Got any hunches?
I do. But then again, I also know who it is.
it'll be fun.
And it'll be interesting to see the response that people get, because people are certainly opinionated. Fans are certainly opinionated about these silver anniversary lists. And just to clarify, this is the silver anniversary committee. This isn't the league office. This isn't anybody here. I know some people are a little confused as to who votes and how they vote. This is totally external. We're just the messengers. So. We love the conversation, though.
You know what's pretty cool? An event we're putting on next Tuesday in New Orleans. Wendell Pierce from The Wire and one of my favorite shows on HBO, Treme. We're actually going to join Wendell Pierce. We'll join him and our players will join him, providing free, it's free, a food drive for a lot of the underprivileged folks out there in New Orleans who saw the effects of Katrina. So that'll be next Tuesday, and he actually launched a company called Sterling Farms, and what they're doing, it's a convenience store. They're they have fresh produce, and it's those areas where they didn't really rebuild those grocery stores and convenience stores of, you know, good food that New Orleans folks are indeed accustomed to. So Wendell Pierce will be joining him next week, and that should be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good cause. I think we tend to think that Katrina is so long ago now. They aren't still feeling the effects, but they really are. So it's good any time that we can help out, and this is a great opportunity to do so. So looking forward to doing that and having some fan interaction along the way.
I'm excited, and we named our last National Guard MVP of the week, and why not give it to Marco Capizzoli? The fans voted.
Tough to argue.
It's tough to argue when you end a game like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Valuable kicker.
MVK.
Yes.
That's an abbreviation for the word. So, Arena Football fans, we're excited about Avite Arena Bowl 25. BJ is just about out of the office, right? When we go off the air, he'll be making the road trip down to New Orleans. I'll be heading out on Tuesday, and we have a number of staffers there. Buy your tickets today for Avite Arena Bowl 25, and it's going to be an exciting event. Get there early. There's Fan Fest. There's tons of things going on.
There really are. And not just, you know, with the Arena Football League. There's tons of stuff going on in the city. There's a lot to enjoy in New Orleans right now. So, you know, we've got some great events going on, all right in the same area, right down by the arena. The event hotel is the Sheraton down on Canal Street, and it's going to be a great time. You know, some things, you know, times have changed, but, you know, join us. It'll be a good time, I promise.
And if you stay up late enough while you're walking down the streets of New Orleans, you'll find BJ. I'm sure you'll find BJ up late on Bourbon Street with those grenades. The grenade, you know those hand grenade things?
Yeah.
You find BJ late at night. He'll be walking down the street, dancing, getting beads.
That's probably not going to happen. I will need my Evite.
Oh, yes. I wonder, we could mix Evite and Rev Honey, just mix them together, just drink them both. That'll be my diet next week, an all liquid diet of Evite and Rev Honey.
I don't know if that's the healthy alternative to energy drinks.
Well, hey, I'll give it a try. I'll let you know.
All right.
Fans, we appreciate you listening. Great weekend. Make sure you tune in to NFL Network tonight, the American Conference Championship. Tomorrow night, tune in to ustream.tv/AFL because we'll have another barn burner for you. And
you got picks?
Do I have picks?
You got picks? Who's going to win?
I really want to go with Jacksonville tonight. I really want to go with Jacksonville. I want to see Jacksonville there. I want to see Bernard Morris, the Marshall quarterback, bring the Sharks. I mean, it'll be a Cinderella story. It'll be a great story, especially to see them defend their title. But realistically, I think Philadelphia has the edge in this one, and I think they're going to come out with that win.
They really beat down Jacksonville in the regular season. But then again, it's tough to beat a team three times in a row in one season. Yeah.
I think on the National Conference side of things, I like what Utah's doing. I think Arizona has more experience in these types of games. Obviously, last week we saw Utah win their first ever playoff game. So I'm going to have to go with Arizona on the National Conference.
Before the playoffs started, I picked Utah versus Philadelphia.
Oh, shocker.
I'm going to stick with those two. And the interesting thing, if Utah were to go, they would be the fourth different team from the West Division in the last four seasons to go to the Arena Bowl. That's pretty interesting. And the Utah fans are really into it this year. It's their first winning season in franchise history. It's been a good year for Utah. Seen a lot of good things happen. So we'll see, though. Experience is a big deal.
Absolutely.
And Nick Davila and Arizona, they're hungry after last year, you know? I think they feel like they've kind of been forgotten. So we'll see what happens. Should be fun.
Arena football fans, we thank you for joining us today. And like I said, NFL Network tonight. We'll see you in New Orleans for Evite Arena Bowl 25 next Friday night. See ya, fans.